from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. Coming up a little bit, we'll talk to Mark Martin. Being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Now is the time, as we mentioned, man. It's the rut is over. It is time to get out and freshen up your Lucky Buck sights and help these deer get back into condition, back into shape. Not only the bucks for good antler growth, but it helps the does and you know, it'll help come spring too. Come late spring when they're starting to have their fawns. It'll help the fawns as well and other animals eat it too. Lucky-buck.com for all the details and find out where you can use it safely here in Michigan and stay out of those CWD zones with Lucky Buck. Also want to thank our friends at Costa Sunglasses and Darton Archery joining us for 2017. A lot of new things coming up for Darton. We did not make the ATA show as we normally do in Indianapolis this year. And it was kind of bittersweet. Yeah, we missed the show and stuff, but at the same time, I'm kind of relieved that we didn't go because it always gets to be so hectic and overwhelming. But we had correspondence. We had correspondence on the floor for us, people doing videos and stuff, and our good friend Dave Chevalier from Crossbow Warriors was one of the guys on the floor. Dave, how you doing, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Duran. And yes, I can tell you were greatly missed this year.
That's odd. Because I go away, my wife never misses me.
But you know what? I love walking the show with you and hearing your perspective because, as you mentioned all the time, you're no expert at any of this. You learn, right? And to see the way that you react to these manufacturers and really take the time to learn their products and hear from through your eyes versus mine, it gives me a whole different perspective. So I kind of missed your attendance there this year.
Well, dude, I appreciate that. We missed a lot of our friends. You know, we miss seeing you guys down there and some of our TV friends down there. And it seems every time we leave Lee and Tiffany alone, Tiffany comes back pregnant. I don't know, if hunting was slow last year, but it looks like their son Cameron's going to get a little sister, and we very happy for them. They're great people, man, from the Crush, and absolute great people. But you saw a lot of stuff down there. I want to talk about some of the changes to Darton Archery, and I'll be honest, I am so glad that with the compound bows, they have started renaming some of these things, bringing back the old names like the Maverick 2, the Demon. It's just nice because, I mean, look, I know they have their lines like the 3800, the 4800, and things of that nature. And I think for the consumer, sometimes that gets a little confusing, you know. And I've made mention of this before, but they have these, the Maverick 2, let's talk about that. Compact, fast, and smooth. I like that.
Exactly, and I can tell you by them changing the names, and they changed the risers significantly this year, they look incredible. But by them just changing from the number system to the names has drastically increased their sales this year and got a lot of excitement in the industry around the brand.
You know, and the other thing they went to, I mean, they kept the soft touch colors, which is very nice, but they've added new camo. And we saw this last year. Thank you for the sneak peek, by the way. But they've got a couple of new camos in there.
Yeah, you know, and it's not only are they going camo, they're going with Cryptic this year, which is awesome because now not only are they going with a common pattern, they went to one of the newer, hottest patterns that are out there. So Darton's trying to get back into the game. They're adding flash and excitement to between the names and the camo patterns they're using, and it's definitely seeing that in the sales side.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't say keeping up, but making a change towards the more modern, I think is very helpful. And it's, you know, Darton's got a quality product. There's no question. It's made here in Michigan. And to see the new names and, you know, like the Demon, the Maverick coming up, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to shoot these bows because I didn't get a chance to do it in Indianapolis. Now, let's talk crossbows because that is what you do most. Let's talk about what Darton, first of all, has. Is there anything new that we're going to see, and are there some new price points that we may be excited about?
Yeah, what they've done, and kudos to Darden for this, is, and every company's starting to follow suit with this, they're realizing that the day of the high-end archer that spends a lot of money year after year, those days are far and few between now with those type of people. So Darden's come out with a new crossbow called the Toxin 100. Really, really slick shooting bow. What it's done is it's taken the price point down under $600 for the bow now. And that'll make a big difference and give them a splash into that lower end of the market. And you're still getting a top-notch quality bow at a much better price point.
You know, the one thing we've noticed about the Toxin, it is a standard compound crossbow, what I like about it. But when we've shown ours to people and have had conversations with people about the Toxin crossbow, is the first thing they say is the balance. They mention the balance. The second thing they notice is the narrow axle to axle, because a lot of people are ground blind hunting and you don't want that great big wide bulky recurve or even a wide bulky compound crossbow.
Exactly. And it's kind of cool the way that Darton did it is they basically took in the receiver and brought it back further on the stock, which puts it into a more natural shooting position. You know, they've added the cheek plate on there for stability for your left and your right. They've also added on some of their models now, depending on the features you add, a foregrip with an adjustable stock on it where you hold it vertically, you know. So those little additions have really taken Darton to the next level in the crossbow world.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see what they've got going on in the new cryptic camo and things of that nature. Now, you were not just there to see Darton. You're there to see everything. And let's talk about some of the stuff you saw on the floor that was hot this year.
Some of the things that we went and seen that was really cool is a couple new brands that are out there this year. The two big ones that are getting a lot of good press this year is the Raven, right? The Raven's a cool, different crossbow. Axle to axle, width-wise, is only 6 inches when it's fully cocked.
I mean, that's freakish.
Yeah, it's insane looking. It's a very smooth shooting bow. It's a good bow. One of the problems that they had is restrictions, though. Some of the states, it's too narrow to be classified under their crossbow laws. So that's going to restrict them in sales in certain states.
Interesting.
The other one that's going to change some things. See, in the crossbow world, all of the, I guess you'd say, your common stuff, everybody wants something new. Everybody's seeing the normal reverse draws are hot now and the standard compounds like you just mentioned. So to try to get smaller and easier to use, you're starting to violate the crossbow regulations in certain states. So you always have to make sure that you're following your state laws when you go to purchase a crossbow, because it'd be very frustrating to buy a bow that you can't use.
Absolutely. Dave Chevalier from Crossbow Warriors is joining us. Crossbowwarriors.com. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we're talking about what you saw at the ATA. Real quickly, about a minute left in this segment, Dave, what else stood out as far as the new crossbows on the floor?
The Gearhead Archery is probably the craziest looking crossbow I've ever seen. It looks like an erector set that was put together. It's all just rods welded together, and it's formed a crossbow. So you can literally see through the stock and through the rails and the risers and all that stuff, right? The bad thing about that crossbow is the way that it's designed, it's only drawing anywhere between 40 and 90 pounds, depending on when you get. So there, too, you're also now out of the crossbow laws, because it has to be, in most states, over 100-pound draw weight.
Unbelievable. I'm looking at them right now, Gearhead Archery. That is probably the most freaky looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Even their compound bows are just insane looking. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah, what they've done is taken that's how they made their crossbow. They took their compound bow, flipped it on its side, put a stock on it, and away you go. And it shoots really awesome. I mean, I could not speak better about how it shoots. I mean, it's just, it goes back to the law thing in your state.
All right, Dave Chevalier is our guest. We're going to talk more about what he saw at the ATA show here in a couple of minutes. Listen to us online at wildmichiganradio.com via our podcast or these fine affiliates all across the Great Lakes State. Either way, you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collection. Doctor, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website, and we want you to check us out and check out the podcast there. If you miss any of this show, very happy to put them up and have you guys respond, by all means. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. It's been kind of quiet there, man. We got some ticket giveaways coming up. Also, we've got our friends at the Pheasants Forever Chapter 467. They've got their banquet coming up, and we will be there at that event coming up to Eagle Eye in Lansing. It's going to be a huge event. They've got tons of guns they're going to be giving away. We want you to join us there. And again, all that information is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And again, the banquet for the Eagle Eye is coming up, and it's their 24th annual banquet, the biggest one in the state, and that'll be happening on March 10th. So all the info is pf467.org or our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Back to Dave Chevalier from Crossbow Warriors joining us here on Wild Michigan. Dave, okay, you've probably pointed out the most interesting looking, yet I can't even begin to explain that bow from Gearhead Archery. What about some of the more common things? Everybody, every year, Dave, and this is where I come in, and I'm like, come on, really? Everybody's got a new broadhead or something new to cause all kinds of havoc and destruction. But you know what? It's only as good as you making your mark.
That's exactly it. When it comes to the broadhead industry as a whole, under that category, I guess you'd say, in the innovative room, there was another four broadhead companies coming to market. It's absolutely saturated the market, and it's made it hard for these people to make a living at it, because now the only way you're going to get in front of customers is through a ton of marketing and advertising, which is hurting the bottom line for these companies, and you're going to start mm-hmm. to see companies going out of business because of this.
You know, last year we had conversation with Eddie from Rexbid. And this is what's difficult too. It's a Korean company that has some of the coolest functional broadheads, and design-wise, that I've ever seen. Had the opportunity to shoot one. I love mechanical broadheads, and this one stays closed. It doesn't fall open like a lot of other broadheads. Doesn't need rubber bands, doesn't need collars, so everybody knows who I'm talking about. And function, form, cut, everything's great, but what happens is, because they are a Korean company and they don't have like actual American representation, they get overlooked a lot. And it's kind of a shame, because the Rexbit is a great broadhead.
Exactly. And there's so many companies out there like that. And that's truly a unique unique broadhead that is never going to get its due justice because of the saturation in the broadhead field.
Yeah, it is very difficult. So, I mean, what did you see that actually, you know, caught your eye, and not just from a flash standpoint?
In the broadhead market, nothing really. It was a lot of reinventions of just a different name with the same broadhead. Nothing there. There was one product this year that stood out to me, though, and it's actually blown up. We did a live feed for them. And it's a actual tree stand, right? It's by Buckhorn Outdoor Productions. And it's a leveling tree, climbing tree stand. As you go up, and you know normally when you climb the tree, it gets thinner, so you're going to have to take and shorten the ratchet around the tree as you go. This thing has a crank system on it, so as you start to go up, you just give it a couple cranks, super easy. And the way that it locks the top platform with the bottom platform, it's safe as heck. I mean, it's something, I'm not a climbing fan, but I will definitely look into getting this tree stand, because it's something I would use and feel safe in. And it's funny, we did the live feed on it, and it's so unique. We have over 83,000 views on that live feed right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the tree stand. I'm not, you know, like you said, I am not a climber guy, even though there are so many advantages to a climber. I mean, you exactly. could take it, put it anywhere, and there's a lot of ease and comfort. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of scary moments that can be involved with a climber as well.
Exactly. And this tree stand has the safety functions built into it, the way that it straps from top to bottom and all this other stuff, where you don't have to worry about that. And that made me feel safe because I've had too many close calls with a climber, and this took all that away from me. You know, so I feel safe with it.
Now, we're not tiny fellas by any stretch as well.
Absolutely
I think,
not.
I think we have a might have a tendency to fall like a bowling ball rather than a feather out of a tree.
That is so true. The other big thing is, and I know you know I'm part of this on out now as well, is I've taken on a position with a company called the Crossbow Diffuser.
Absolutely.
That has taken the market by storm. That I can't tell you. I worked the booth there as a manufacturer this year for majority of it, and I cannot tell you the response we were getting from the dealers, other manufacturers. I mean, this product is absolutely insane, and it's the safest way to discharge your crossbow on the market, hands down.
You know, and I'll say this about the Crossbow Diffuser also. I have not used one. I've seen your videos, crossbowwarriors.com. I've seen the YouTube channel and watched what, you know, the functions of that. Look, shooting a bolt into the ground, or even if you have a crossbow target, that's one more thing you got to carry around. And crossbows have not evolved like compound bows have. I mean, they tend to break down after use for a while, and you got to get them repaired. And constant shooting of discharge can wear them down a little bit faster.
Exactly. And most people don't realize this. And you go up into Canada and you shoot your animal and you reload your crossbow again to go and make sure that the animal's passed. At that point, what do? Do you shoot your crossbow again? And most of the time it's in the dark. So if you were to shoot your crossbow again, it's illegal. So now you can take the diffuser, diffuse it, and you're still within the laws of your states or country or whatever, you know? So that's one of the functionalities of it. You're putting less shots through your bow throughout the year. Say you go out 20 times. Well, on 20 days, it's a morning and evening hunt for most people. So there's 40 shots you're not putting on your bow and prolonging the life of it.
Now, quickly give a rundown as to how the diffuser works.
The diffuser is really cool. What it does is it sits in your rail system, right? You have your crossbow cocked, and it sits in your rail system, and you lock it in place, and then you pull the trigger, shoot your crossbow, and then you kind of just slowly turn the handle and discharge your crossbow. Now, what I can tell you is we have, and I never realized this because I don't work the shops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many dealers come in and were explaining to us how a crossbow, they get 5 or 6 per shop per year to come in where the crossbow is jammed in the cocked position. They are now using the diffuser to go in there at what would normally take 2 to 3 guys to help get this unjammed with a bow press, and they're doing it with the diffuser in less than 10 seconds.
Wow. Again, a safety measure, too, with that.
Exactly. We got a guy call us yesterday from Wisconsin thanking us for saving his fingers by using the diffuser. So, those type of things make us feel better. And now we even have hunter safety programs looking to bring it into the classroom because now they can talk about crossbows in the classroom, cock it, talk about the danger zones, and then use the diffuser to diffuse it where they couldn't before.
That's fantastic. Good stuff to hear. Dave Chevalier reporting on the ATA. CrossbowWarriors.com is where you can find him. Also look on the YouTube channel for Crossbow Warriors. Dave, appreciate you joining us, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. Great stuff. You can find out all the reviews from the Crossbow Warriors. Check out their Facebook page. Again, CrossbowWarriors.com. You're listening to us here on the Michigan Talk Network. We're Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. Via our website all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. It's been a busy week, man, and it's not for me fishing, I can tell you that. But still some places, still some people out there ice fishing, and please use extreme caution, especially on some of the bigger bodies of water. Or even in fog, there was a couple of guys that were out ice fishing, got trapped in some fog. No compass And at some points in times, the GPS on your phone or whatever doesn't quite work. So, you know, a good old like $12 compass probably wouldn't hurt to have, so you know your direction around. And when we talk about ice fishing, you know, and talk about ice safety, there's a lot of guys we go to. One we talk to each and every year is Mark Martin, pro walleye angler, Hall of Famer. Mark Martin, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, Duran. Just listening to what you had to warn people in a $12 compass in your pocket is always the safest way to go, whether you're fishing or hunting, I'll tell you that, because it'll always work as long as it's not been crushed.
Well, I can't help everybody with everything, Mark, but we try and set them straight a little bit. Now, normally you've got your ice fishing school coming up, Saginaw Bay, and Saginaw Bay in the latter part of the year can usually be kind of dangerous because sometimes you get those ice flows, they break off, and then you're calling the Coast Guard because you're way out in the middle of nowhere. But this year it doesn't look like the school is going to be doing much on Saginaw Bay because of this warm weather.
Oh, two years now we've tried to have it on Saginaw Bay, and Mother Nature's just slapped us in the face every time. And you know, there's still a little bit of ice, but I wouldn't recommend anybody even setting foot on it if they can even put a foot on it, because it's dangerous. And our school is safety first, and that's the way we like it. You know, we want people to come back from a great ice outing. So, you know, stay away from, you know, iffy things. And if you do try to get out on any bodies of water that do have ice, use caution, go with a friend, and also bring a spud, not an auger, because a spud will definitely tell you if you should be even out there on it. If you put a spud through and a couple of whacks or two, you're going to notice that you better back up and save it for another day, you know. So those things right there. But, you know, yeah, Saginaw Bay, it just whipped us. But, you know, you got to have plan B behind curtain number two. And we opened curtain two here the other day. And we're headed to Burt Lake with the Mark Martin Fishing Vacation School. They got plenty of ice up there. And the weather's just a little bit different the further north you go. And by the time we get there, it's going to all be firm back up. We're start pre-fishing on the 2nd, and the school is the 5th to the 8th of February up there. So we're all excited about that because it's a new place for the school to go, and it'll be through Braveheart Resort. It's through Braveheart Estates, which is in Pelston. And it's Operation Injured Soldiers, so we're going to be taking some injured soldiers out and students out fishing. So it's kind of a cool thing to give back to the veterans. You know, it's they're excited, so we're excited also.
Absolutely. Mark Martin is our guest here. MarkMartins.net is his website, and you can find him there and find out what's going on. And this, Mark, it's got to be, I mean, not only teaching people some new ways or some better ways, or even in general teaching them to ice fish, but getting some of these combat wounded veterans out on the ice. I know it's kind of easy to get them out on the boats in the summertime, but sometimes it's a little extra work to get them out there on the ice. But it's got to be very rewarding to get them out.
Oh, it is. You know, we did this last year in open water, and I've done it a few other times, but never, you know, really got involved with the handlers, which they're like doctors. They call them handlers, and they were at the estate, and they talked with us, and they said, "You guys, I don't know what you do, but all your pro staff taking these people out fishing, these soldiers, they opened up to you guys." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, they never stopped talking, you know." And they said, "Well, fishing must be really good." You know, I said, "Yeah, fishing was really good." and so they started, not only that leads them into fishing and talking about fishing, but also leads them with each other to talk about things that had happened to them in the war. And that's what they really want them to talk about. And that's how they heal. And so I get that really brings it back to me that, you know, if we didn't have them people sacrificing what they have gone through, we wouldn't be able to enjoy our lives here doing what we do at all. And so what little bit, it's just a little tiny bit of what I can give back and what the sure. school can give back. And just to watch the joy on their face of catching fish is phenomenal. And, you know, some of them have never caught a walleye, so we're looking forward to getting them onto walleyes. And up there at Burt Lake, there's trout and there's perch and there's pike and a little bit of everything in that lake. So we're going to have fun up there, and there's going to be, you know, I'm going to have about 14 of my pro staff come along and do some teaching also. And there's going to be, I guess, about 20-some media from all across the Midwest, from Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, mm-hmm. and, of course, Michigan. And you and I will talk on the phone, hopefully,
absolutely.
While we're doing it.
Absolutely. You know, and we have found, too, Mark, speaking with Mark Martin here on Wild Michigan, we have found through conversations with you and for people from people, Project Healing Waters, and so many different organizations, whether it's breast cancer, combat wounded veterans, or whatever the case, the outdoors has such healing properties of just being out. And then when you have that camaraderie or getting out and fishing, it really takes it to a new level. People that, you know, are usually shut in with them within themselves kind of open those doors.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've seen on Houghton Lake, you know, and maybe some of them were veterans, too, that we had. I never asked. This time I did ask and found out what I had. But people there, some of them, one guy in particular that I worked with, he, in 67 years of his life, he just retired, he caught 3 perch. And then by the end of the school, we gave him a plaque for most improved, because now he caught fish on tip-ups, caught fish jigging, and he was able to perform that all by himself and just with the tutorage he got from all of us. So he was smiling. His smile was bigger than I ever seen it. That was on a 67-year-old. Now you go down to the younger guys that never caught a walleye until mm-hmm. you know, in the school, a 14-incher was his first walleye, and we had to, you know, put a frown on his face when we told him it was only 14 inches long, and he had to put it back, and he goes, "This is my first fish. This is my first walleye. Come on, let me I said, "We can't stretch it, okay?" And then he ended up with like a 16- and 17-incher next, so he was all happy. He goes home to his body of water that he's been fishing his whole life, which is, you know, probably he's in his 30s or upper 20s, mm-hmm. catches a 26-inch walleye, a 24-inch walleye, wow. 22. Now he's catching, every day he goes out, he's sending and texting me more and more walleye pictures, and he goes, "Wow, just your school taught me this kind of knowledge that now I go back on my home lake and I'm catching walleyes, and everybody's asking me what I'm doing and how I do it." I says, "I went to the school, and now I'm not going to share any of that."
Well, I tell you what, man, it's so good. And you know what? You got to share the information. That's what you've been doing for a while.
Right, and, I do.
And you're going to do that with us some more here coming up in a few minutes. You're listening to Mark Martin. I'm Duran Martinez. This is Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network. Michigan, I'm Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral and Darton Archery, a couple of great Michigan companies. Also, our friends at Costa Sunglasses, man, they now have frames for your prescriptions on prescription glasses. They got their own line of frames now. Check them out at CostaDelMar.com and link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. And Mark Martin is joining us here talking about the ice fishing vacation school that it does every year. Moving it from Saginaw Bay, just for safety reasons, moving it up to Burt Lake. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, taking out some of the gentlemen from Operation Injured Soldier and of course, some other folks from the school. Now, Mark, these schools, you do a couple of them every year, and they really do help a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people learn so many things. And there are a lot of things involved that when you're signing up, it's more than just signing up to go out and go fishing and get, you know, some tackle handed to you.
And that's what you know, the people, they realize that, I guess, after they take the school. And beforehand, they think we're just a bunch of glorified guides that are going to take them out, put them on fish, and they're going to catch a bunch of fish and that they had a great time. But after they get done with it, they realize now they got talent that they can go anywhere in North America that there's ice and walleyes and be just as successful. And or just wherever they go, whether it's bluegills or crappies or northern pike, they know how to run tip-ups, they know how to jig, they know how to choose the right lures for the right conditions, and they know how to attract them in. They know how to see fish from a distance with their electronics. They know the cadence that they got to do to keep these fish coming in and attack their lure. So, you know, they it's not just here, sit in this shack and here's some lures and there's and just jig and leave them alone. You know, it's constant hands on and until they get the thing right and they're catching fish on their own, you know, and they can come into our shacks. We go into their shacks. We move them around sometimes. We make sure they understand the whole total gauntlet of ice fishing and whether they wanted to or not, they're grateful for everything they learned, you know, and they a lot of that's what I hear, just what you said. They figure we're just going to go out there and put them on a spot and they're going to catch fish and they realize it's a lot more than that at the end of the 3 days.
You know, it's funny. We're speaking with Mark Martin here, a pro walleye angler, pro angler and general Hall of Fame fisherman. Mark, you know, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that when we have these conversations with you or some of the other pro anglers, that a lot of times we don't ever get to technique or to, you know, favorite lure or any of that other stuff during these conversations. And I really think that's okay. I really think that these conversations, there's more to it than you know, learning tactics all the time.
Yeah, you know, I can make you have a favorite lure. I can show you, go in your tackle box, pick out a lure you probably have never used, put it on the end of your line, and before too long, you're catching fish on that. I can take that one off, and I can, when I see something changing, and grab another lure that maybe you never used, put that on, and show you how to use that. It's being taught to use what you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going out to the store and looking at the wall and seeing all these lures and have the lure catch you and not picking the right one that catches fish.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned it that way because for the past few years, I've been very fortunate to be the voice at the Bassmaster Classic Expo for Dick's Sporting Goods. And my friend Chuck Devereaux has the bass tub there, and you'll have the pro anglers come in there, and they'll be talking about the lure that their sponsor has, and you'll see the fish attack those lures. And you know what? People are running over to the shelves and buying all the lures and all the different colors and everything, and it's all well and good, but you know that pro has got years of experience behind that one lure itself.
Right. Exactly. You have to learn that lure and how to make it work for you. Not, you don't just put it on and it magically works. It's what you do with it to track the fish in to begin with and get them interested. And, you know, it's a lot of different things. So that's what we teach these students that come. And they're grateful after they leave and they realize it's the little things they learned. It wasn't a magic lure that they got to keep in a black box hidden away from everybody, because everybody's got the same lure, they realize. It's just that little technique that they now have that everybody else doesn't have, that little bit of knowledge at using electronic that nobody else has, that little bit of where to set up because of Navionics apps on their phone that nobody else has. It's that little bit that adds up to that big thing that's in that black box.
You know, and that's why going to these schools that you put on, or the seminars that all of these people are doing at the Ultimate Fishing Show, Outdoorama, Ultimate Sports Show, the seminars are so important, because all of these anglers and presenters have done the research, and they're in that position for a reason, and learning is a great way, you know, that is a great way to learn, and then you will apply those tactics to your conditions, making you more successful that way.
You're exactly right, Duran. You know, you're hitting the nail on the head, and when people realize that, they become better, you know, when they get taught and they're tutored by people that are better than them. And that's what I tell people. Surround yourself with people that you feel that are better than you at what you want to learn. You're going to learn faster and more than you are on your own. And so when people leave our school, they got tutored by so many of people like myself,
right,
that now they've gained 500 years or more of knowledge in just a short amount of time. That like I asked a few guys, they said, we'd never learned this much knowledge on our own, no matter how long we fished. I said, well, yeah, maybe 100 years. I learned so much, but by being with Al Leonard, Gary Roach, I learned some more. By being with my pro staff, we've learned so much from each other, enough that we can actually have gone back to some of the electronics people and tell them with their electronics what more they can do. And they're like, well, some of them are like super, well, they're all grateful. Mm-hmm. Some of them kind of knows what they can do. And others are like, well, that's, you know, why don't you put that in the instructions? And really, it would be a selling point. And then there's some people that I'm sure, because, you know, they sell underwater cameras, that, well, we want, you know, underwater cameras is what taught us what our my electronics and all the other electronics can do, because now I can see fish on any electronics on the market. You know, if I'm in 20 feet of water, I can see them 30 feet away.
Right.
And most people can only see them when they're under their transducer. We teach them where to look on that fish finder for the fish that are sitting out there looking at your presentation. And if you keep doing it right, they keep coming in closer, and pretty soon they're under the transducer where you can actually see them like you're supposed to. But if you don't notice them sitting out there and you start jigging crazy and you're doing foolish things, there's no fish in that lake. And that's what people do a lot of times. They don't realize how many fish they've actually attracted into themselves, because they don't actually come under the transducer, and by the time they're almost going to come into the transducer where somebody's going to see them, they do a foolish move and that fish takes off.
Right.
You know, so we teach them, you know, so that, and we teach them about, you know, if there's two of them in a shack or they're jigging two rods, we teach them about, you know, don't do that, you know, because now you're confusing the fish. You know, put one up high and just jig with one, you know, use it as a dead stick, use it as a decoy so fish can see it from a distance as they're coming in 30 feet away, and they don't see the one maybe jigging down on the bottom, but they hear it, feel it. But
sure.
They do see the one up 2-3 feet.
Right.
They're all of a sudden, boom, you know, they might not come to the one you're jigging, but they focus on the one that's just spinning in the light current, or the water is moving at the bait a little bit. Boom, they're right on it.
Well, Mark, I tell you, man, there's so many things we've yet to learn from you, and we look forward to talking to you on the while you're on the ice and I'm in the studio, but you know, you'll be teaching and I'll be learning at the same time, and we'll look forward to that report. Dude, I appreciate your time as always.
We'll talk to you soon, Duran.
All right, check him out, markmartins.net. And, of course, all our great guests are here on the podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.